I hold the report. I will give it to the standing in secretary, Mr. McKinsey, to give us only this one. It's a honorable movie. Party commitment. One of the apologies, then Honorable Muhai, attending the PC on Mineral Resources. Honorable Semba will lead this at 11 o'clock. He will be attending the Committee on Sports.
Thank you, Babu Mkize. Maybe we need to explain that during this time of the year, we are always found depleted, particularly because most of the members are attending more than two portfolio committees. So sometimes, particularly when they are dealing with legislation, they are giving the first preference, those who are attending the legislation, to attend. Then the GC ordinary meeting. So that's why we find ourselves in this situation. Having said that, today we are receiving the department on the report of first quarter. They have to take us through, then we have to engage. I think we are not going to follow the agenda. I hope you have seen the agenda. We will try to create more time for engagement. So I will request that when the tea time comes, we don't pay for tea, but we just let a person pick up a cup and we have a working tea. I hope that I've got the consensus by looking at the members and the department. So I think we'll do the rituals so that we know who is here. I will start with the members. Representing the ANC. Next to her, on her left, is Baba Ungonyama, representing the COOP. Next to Baba Ungonyama, Babu Hlengwa, representing the IFP. Next to Hlengwa, Baba Mabasa, Chikango Mabasa, representing the ANC. Next to him is Dr. Kutetri, representing the ANC, Chris Ntuli, representing the ANC, who's acting today. And we've got our standing in secretary, Babu Mkize. Next to him is Mayor Mbelevane, who's the researcher. We've got Amanda, who is the committee assistant. And then we've got a gentleman from the PMG. That is the members of parliament and the staff assisting. So I'll hand over to the DG to make the introduction and take us through the first quarterly report.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, honourable members. It seems a very long time since we've been with you. So we are glad to be back to present our first quarter report. I'm going to allow the team to introduce themselves so that you can hear all of their voices first thing in the morning, and then we will move into the presentation. So let me start at the extreme left.
It's David Matfield, the Acting EDG for Socioeconomic Development and Social Dialogue.
Morning, my name is Andrew Machek, Chief Director in the Economy Policy Branch. Thank you.
Good morning, Apollo. My name is Senkita Begani, CFO.
Good morning, my name is Kanaki Satiki, and Chief Director of Park for Accounting, Acting EDG.
Good morning. My name is Bongi Mabalweni, Parliament and Cabinet Support in the Office of the DG.
Good morning again, Jane Sharp.
Good morning. My name is Mohammed Barton from the Bank of
France. Good morning. Good morning. If everybody would, everybody is empty.
Thank you.
ourselves on areas of human resource management, supply chain management, and ensuring that as we go through the quarters, we progressively improve on those aspects. The KPI 2 in terms of management meetings, our management system is in place and we are meeting. We did have an additional management meeting in that quarter. And we are using the management meetings to be able to evaluate both financial and performance reports. In terms of the internal audit report that was done in that quarter was a review of the 2012-13 annual financial statements, an obligatory part of the internal audit function as part of the annual report preparation process. The KPI 4 relates to the staffing. At the end of June, we had a staff complement of 137, 10 appointments, 12 terminations, an important element there, recognizing that in that quarter there were a number of contract posts that had terminated during that process. You will be aware of the fact that the target that we had set for the year was 146, and we are moving in that direction. We are monitoring the recruitment processes quite intensively. On the IT strategy, it's an annual target, so there is not a report on that KPI at this stage. That then deals with the administration program, and we now move to the economic policy development program. And you will see that there are a number of KPIs in relation to this that do not have targets set for the quarter. I'm not going to speak to each one of those if that's all right with you, Chairperson, just to be able to keep the process moving. But we have included all KPIs in the report, so it's really visible to you where there is not a target set for that quarter. For space purposes, we've not put in there that the targets are the other quarters, but that would be visible in the ATP. So our KPI 7, service and reporting implementation of the new growth path. We prepared a quarterly report on GDP growth and investment in relation to the job drivers of the NGP covering the first quarter of 2013, and that was prepared and submitted to Cabinet in the quarter. On KPI 10, policy interventions identified and or policy platforms held to support inclusive growth. A policy intervention was held on the 21st of June in relation to smallholders, and it has resulted in ED facilitating coordinated work around the piloting of smallholder schemes and support for district-based planning, which will focus specifically on the four homeland areas and the land redistribution issues. So that was a process of being able to look at what needs to be done differently in relation to smallholder development within rural development. KPI 12 then is the Monitoring of the Competition Act, and here is where we had two dimensions. The first was the finalization of the construction cartel collusion investigation, which has resulted in engagement with the implementation of the Act and ensuring that we look at how that work has been facilitated by the Act. But in addition, the promulgation of the section of the Competition Act relating to health market inquiries has also required us to engage in relation to the implementation of that section. You'll remember that we had reported previously that there were capacity issues that need to be addressed in relation to that in order to prepare for the Competition Commission to be able to move on that market inquiry. On KPI 13, which is another policy platform held on reports, all reports completed on the impact of BBBEE, the target was not met in relation to this. There was a platform that was planned. The essence of a platform is bringing together a high-level team of people who have got expertise or particular interests and needs in relation to a particular topic. So the success or failure of a platform is quite directly connected to the availability of the relevant people. We had to postpone this from June, and it did take place on the 9th of July as a catch-up process. But in terms of the first quarter, it did not fall within the time frame of the reporting period. The next slide deals with the target KPIs that there is not a quarter, and that then deals with the economic policy development budget program. And I will then move on to the economic planning and coordination program. KPI 17 on slide 15. The first KPI CI deals with economic development initiatives that are facilitated or unblocked. And there are two unblocking or development initiatives that have been facilitated in relation to this. The first unblocking was concerning inner wind energy projects, where we had worked to facilitate the receipt of an amended approval from DAF in relation to the subdivision of agricultural land that is required for that project. It was a prerequisite for inner wind to be able to secure funding, so it was an unblocking mechanism that then enabled that project to move to a next stage. The second project was in relation to the Chinese Lumber Cement Factory, which had experienced problems with regard to work permits for key personnel, and that was resolved jointly between EDD and DTI, Department of Labour, Department of Home Affairs, and the investment can now commence in the Republic province. Stronghouse Energy LPG Importation and Storage Terminal in Saldanha Bay, Western Cape, EDD facilitated the signing of a lease agreement between IDC and Transnet in relation to that project. The fluoride project was having difficulty in sourcing the appropriate amount of water a day from Sunday Municipality for their new plant, and through EDD intervention, they will now receive water directly from the Rand Water with the permission of the municipality. So again, a process that has enabled that project to move forward. This Cape Town 17 has been also reported on the next page in relation to the local resources project, the soil fashion plant, where we have facilitated a dedicated electricity supply agreement with ESCOM, which had enabled a shift from being able to, from having to source electricity from a farm line previously. And then the final unblocking under this one is in relation to the pipe size of the Makola Crocodile Wood Augmentation Project. And this was where the PSCC technical unit had unblocked support for the water pipeline in order to supply water for the electricity and industrial users in Limpopo. An important element of water here being part of the catalytic project and development to unlock the northern mineral belt. So an intervention that, although looking like a small intervention around the pipeline, has cascading catalytic effects. Moving then to slide 17 and KPI 20, which relates to the strategic integrated projects. The Portfolio Committee is aware of the fact that the PSCC technical unit generates regular progress reviews for CABINET in relation to this. And those reports, we cover spending, we cover construction, and we cover the localization efforts. An important part of the SIP is to try and ensure that where possible we have local production for the materials that are needed for those. We've phrased this in a way that will also enable the Portfolio Committee to get a sense of the projects within the strategic integrated projects. So you'll see that under SIP 1, there were 8 projects. So we've given you the number of projects in relation to a particular SIP, and we've also reminded you what that SIP is. And we hope that will be a useful way of reporting that will get us all to be familiar with what the SIPs are. For me, there are far too many numbers to carry around in my head, and this way it helps us to do it. So there are 8 projects in SIP 1, there are 6 projects in SIP 2, 4 in SIP 3, the South Eastern Node Corridor, the East Coast, 6 projects in SIP 4, which is the economic opportunities in the Northwest Province, a single project in SIP 5, which is the Saldanha Northern Cape Development Corridor, 5 project clusters in SIP 6, this is the municipal infrastructure project, and obviously the scale of these projects varies considerably from SIP to SIP. 8 projects in the SIP 17, which is the urban space and public sector, so it's the Rio Vias and the My Cities and the public transport projects that are unfolding in the 12 municipalities. 4 project clusters within SIP 8 in relation to green economy, 3 projects in SIP 9 in relation to the electricity generation. SIP 10 has got 3 project clusters involved in it, and that's the electricity transmission project. The 5 cluster projects in SIP 11, which is the agricultural logistics and rural development, 9 project clusters and 1 maintenance program in the public hospital and health facilities project, 10 project clusters in the national school schools, 2 project clusters in the higher education infrastructure, the SIP 15 related to expanding access to communication technology, so it's the broadband and digital migration project, 3 project clusters in that. Is one project in relation to that, the mutual integration and African cooperation development, which is also referred to as the North-South Corridor in terms of the AU terminology, just so we are not believing that there are 2 parallel projects there, there's an overlap in relation to them, 4 projects within that, and then a SIP 18 city project clusters in relation to the water and sanitation master plan. Obviously, on that one, a very diverse and scattered project. Okay, moving then to KPI 22, which is the number of ministerial oversight engagements with DFIs in the first quarter. The minister in this quarter interacted with both IDC and CIPA. In relation to the IDC, he interacted with the board, and his interaction focused on the development impact of the IDC, the project pipeline development, and support for the infrastructure program, and strengthening of the IDC footprint and capacity. In relation to CIPA, the engagement between the minister and CIPA was in relation to issues that the portfolio committee has also been engaging with CIPA and the minister on, the issue of policy issues relating to small business funding, the cost of funding, improved access for small businesses, and the cost of intermediary. And that was an interaction that took place with some of the financial intermediaries present. Apart from those two, we have also had our normal quarterly interaction with the entity. I'm told that I need to ask KPI 21, which is a very good thing to do. If we can go back to slide, the previous slide, thank you, Mohamed, for drawing my attention to that. This is a number of infrastructure projects under for fast track. 3 that are listed up there. The one is the solar water heater project, engagement between the TRCC and the Department of Energy at various different levels, around the need for water quality information from municipalities in order to be able to develop, to determine the technical feasibility of rolling out the 1 million solar water heater program in the municipalities. So an intervention took place there to get the necessary information, because without knowing what the water quality is, the solar water heater project can't be rolled out. Secondly, in relation to the ACD school build program, interaction between the PICT technical unit and Department of Basic Education in relation to this has resulted in an unblocking of processes around the school build, with the technical unit in DBSA and the IDT preparing the documentation for all of the implementing agencies, picking up on key lessons that have been learned in the school build project to be able to assist in overcoming some of the delays. The technical unit has also engaged DBE to overcome the outstanding issues of authorization in relation to 20 of the schools and sorting out clarity around site allocations for the DBSA. So in that you get a sense of the kind of ongoing work that the technical unit does around the various projects that need to, that have got stuck in some sort of way and are not moving either at all or as fast as they should be. And then the last one there is the issue of the PICC skills plan. A draft skills plan has been presented to the HR council, the HRD council, that should be produced for the title, on the skills plan for the infrastructure project, and that's a database for being able to ensure that as we roll out infrastructure projects, we can be sure that we've got the appropriate sets of skills at the time. In that process, they've been able to identify what are skill skills, what are critical skills, so that they're able to look at that going forward. On slide 18, I list KPI 21, so I went back a slide. KPI 21. Yeah, my apologies. I somehow hit the button twice and skipped. Okay, can I proceed then to I'm really now to KPI 22. That is a strategic engagement that the minister had with IDC and FIFA. I have spoken to that one. We begin to KPI 22, and I'm hoping that we are on the same page. So this is not slide 21, KPI 22. This deals with the roadshows marketing the products of the FIFA agencies, and in the detail there, which I'm not going to speak to, we have given you where the FIFA roadshows have taken place. There were 8 of them that were hosted during the process, and we've given you also a sense of the attendance. You can see that the attendance has varied somewhat, but that's also quite predictive if you look at the nature of the municipalities that we have participated in those roadshows in that during the first quarter. Moving on then to KPI 24, this is the value of financing facilitated for small businesses, targeted growth sectors and companies industry. So there are three elements to the narrative report in the extreme run. The first deals with the IDC targeted growth sectors, and there is a figure there for the amount of money that has been approved in relation to those targeted growth sectors. We've also listed for the portfolio committee the targeted growth sectors that the IDC operates on. The IDC distress fund for 1.4 billion is the second paragraph, and that's when three companies, one in clothing and textile, one in fabricated metal, and the other a vehicle component manufacturing company. And then in terms of FIFA, the FIFA funding in relation to this is 27.9 in that quarter. Moving then to KPI 25, this target has not been fully met. We did have in that time the quantitative report on the jobs created by the IDC and FIFA, but we needed to then do the evaluation of that data. So we are able to ensure that we evaluate the impact of the job creation. But in addition, we've also been tasked to extend that to cover the Competition Tribunal and ITAC, Competition Commission Tribunal and ITAC. Slightly more complicated process, but one that we will work on to be able going forward to report on the evaluation of jobs across all the. We then get to the ministerial engagements with the ELT, and the engagement during the quarter has focused on predominantly interaction with the Competition Commission in relation to the construction economic regulatory bodies. My apologies. We will ensure going forward that we include the full title. So this is the KPI that gives the Service Committee the sense of the work that we do in relation to ITAC, the Trade Administration Commission, Competition Commission and Competition Tribunal, those being our three economic regulatory bodies. The interaction that the Minister had in this quarter was with the Construction Commission around the construction cost track settlement. So there were a number of occasions of interaction in relation to that, and in addition we had our entities are meeting with those three entities at official level in that quarter as well. Moving then to KPI 27, which is the number of interventions in relation to the economic regulatory bodies. What we have flagged here is the work that has been done in relation to the final trade policy directive on the exportation of scrap metal, directive done by the Minister in May, which directs ITAC to introduce a price preference system whereby scrap metal should not be exported unless it is first being offered to domestic users of scrap at a discounted price. This intervention is designed to ensure supply security of affordable and quality scrap metal to local foundry sales and other local scrap metal processors in order to promote domestic job creation and reverse the deindustrialization and support the government's infrastructure plan. Okay, that gets us to the end then of the Economic Planning Coordination Budget Program, and we move to Socioeconomic Development and Dialogue, the Social Dialogue Budget Program. And moving to KPI 31, This is the number of social dialogue engagements held to increase awareness and accord and other economic issues among social partners. And we've included here the signing of the employment accord. You will be aware of the fact that in the last quarter of last year we were reporting on the processes leading up to it. So it was signed on the 18th of April, and we were responsible for managing that with the support and in partnership with Gauteng Premier's office. But in addition, around the budget vote process, we held a workshop with NYDA, IDC, and FIFA, and the South African Youth Council to look at the youth accord and to be able to get partnerships going between those agencies to ensure that there are packages offered to youth and assess how those structures should work together in relation to that. The third aspect, the third deliverable, the third product delivered under this is in fact an intervention then between NYDA and ourselves around the Youth Employment Accord in June. The discussions here centered around youth entrepreneurship and ensuring that we were able to develop capacity for tracking youth initiatives. So it's formed a strong partnership between EBD and NYDA around tracking the gains of the youth accord. But in that meeting also it was agreed that the NYDA draft MOU should be circulated so that we could assist in unblocking a process between NYDA and IDC and FIFA for discussion of that MOU and the formalising of it, which indeed now we can say has been signed off on. In addition, as part of preparation in KZN for a KZN Economic Summit, we prepared a presentation, a day of presentation to a workshop hosted by the KZN Economic Council in May, which was enabling the process that culminated later in the signing of an accord implementation plan. We've listed the attendees there, and this was in preparation for the summit, which took place in July. Moving then to the KPI 52, the number of action reports and strategies developed to improve implementation of the Accords report. The portfolio committee will be aware of the document that was circulated on the day of the budget vote speech, which did an analysis of the implementation of the accord that has been signed to date, so it covered the skills accord, basic education accord, degree accord, and local procurement accord. And that work has been taken forward in relation to that. So it's a summary report of information sourced not only from government departments, but from state-owned companies, DFIs, organized business, individual companies, trade unions, and the community. In addition, we extracted out of the various different budget vote speeches made by ministers and deputy ministers the commitments made and reports made on work in relation to the youth employment accord. So there was a product that was generated related to that that has enabled us in tracking the implementation of the youth accord going forward to know what the commitments were in the budget vote speeches of this year. KPI 34 is then the number of engagements at company or in industry, industrial sector level in order to save and create new jobs. In relation to this, we were approached to be able to assist with the progress in which Ford looked like it was going to retrench 164 workers. So there's been an intervention there around that situation and the jobs have been retained. And it is ongoing work that we will be involved in monitoring. KPI 36, which is our capacity building project for social partners around the NGP. We held two district capacity building workshops. The portfolio committee will be aware of the fact that this work started in last financial year and has continued through with the various targets in the ACC for this year. So we had held the two in district capacity building workshops with those. So it tends to be a social partner at the district level and targeting the worst service district as we go forward. The impact enables social partners to understand the opportunities for economic development, understand the roles of finance agencies, and be able to look at the accords and how they are being implemented within that environment, and look at what can be done differently going forward. KPI 37 is a number of workplace interventions. There's no target for that one. And we then move to KPI 38, which is the advocacy initiatives around productivity, entrepreneurship, and innovation at central and or national level. And in relation to this, although there wasn't a target set for the quarter, there was work that was done and completed. Again, it's work that had been started in the previous financial year, so it is a process of continuing with that work. So four provincial workshops around the value chain competitiveness have been held, Queensland, Northern Cape, Mpumalanga and Gauteng, in relation to that, with overall total of 123 participants in. And we've listed there for you the kinds of areas that have been covered in those. Each one has a slight tweak to the uniqueness of that provincial economy, but there are standard aspects of that that go forward. Chairperson, can I at that point hand over to the CFO to take us through the financial slides, and then we can take some questions.
Realign the personnel budgeting program one. I
allocation for Program 1 budget was not aligned to the number of homes that are in Program 1, and this will be corrected for during the period of budget that estimates that you have implemented the department. The spending performance according to GFS, or Government Financial Statistics, as indicated earlier on the drawdown, 38 million excluding transfer, 23 million of that is for compensation of employees, so what's for compensation of employees, which we have underspent by 22 million, and in the main is the resource spending program, economic development, and economic policy branch, and in your dialogue program or branch. Our goods and services is also not spending, but as I have questioned earlier, as we received all the invoices for accommodation, the spend is also improved slightly, as opposed to the 30% understanding that we have. We are also understanding or have over budgeted rather in the payment of, or in the capital budget, which we will also be correcting during the adjusted estimates by reducing it. We have looked at the aging of our assets and have determined that the numbers are not anywhere near the budget that we have put in total for the year 7 million, and we will be reducing that, and that will also assist us in alleviating the burden of the additional office space that we had because it's been coming additional funding from Treasury.
Completed on the impact of the
target not met because of the unavailability of stakeholders. It's a very important item policy-wise. And the last one for me is number 31, page 31. Explanation is being given on the finances, on the understand. Under expenditure is not completely celebrated in an environment in which we are currently. And that's all that I can say. On the KPI 64 and the discussion report resulted in temporary suspension of a decision to adjust. It's something to be celebrated. Could get more information on that. That one is that for that of excitement and curiosity. How did we achieve that? It seems wonderful. Basically, that's all from the chairperson. There are a number of targets that have not been met. There are figures here where we're referred to, and the targets have not been met, and the others, and instruments, and products, and outputs. Maybe it needs more explanation on some of those terms. And I thank you, that's all.
Thank you, Mahungo Nyama. Can you kill your gadget? Yeah, maybe what you ask on the KPI 34, maybe to check whether is it not in connection with the training layoff scheme framework agreement, because I remember from the onset about the companies who wanted to retrench that the department would be able to give some funds. Is it not in connection with that 164 workers? I'm just trying to go deeper in that. In that number two.
Thank you very much, Acting Chairperson. Good morning to the colleagues and the departments. I'll be very brief, Chair, before I go. I've just got three questions. The first one pertains to KPI 23. Particularly the attendance of those stakeholders and the number of variances. I'm not sure in terms of that individuals or businesses. I mean, the cause, I was just looking at Peter Marisburg for an example, which is a borderline metro, got a huge population. I mean, the attendance there is something below 100. So, I mean, if you zoom into the others, what's the criteria for these engagements and the scope, really, of how the people attending or the small businesses attending here are or selected. Second question, Chair, would be goes to KPI 32 on the use of codes, particularly the question is two-pronged. Is the use of code actually, you know, having the desired impact? That's just on a general level, but on KPI 32, in the narrative number 2, speaks on the reports on work completed and progress made by government in promoting youth employment and opportunities that are captured in the budget votes by ministers and deputies. Just to, are in a position to provide us with those reports so that we could have the benefit of actually looking at the progress that is being made by, you know, in terms of that. And lastly, Chair, I was very startled when the CFO said she's looking at the aging assets, and the board fell on my chair. The department is only 4 years old, and she's speaking about aging assets. So if you could also in that, you know, just extend a bit further in terms of how that should be done. Should the response come before I, after I've left chair, I hope that she would do justice to the questions that I've asked. If the response will start, that's just that. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Number three, the President M. Morris. Catherine Gadget. Can you get it closer to me?
Thanks, Honorable Chair, and let me also take this opportunity to welcome the presentation. It was quite informative. My first question will be on page 13 around KPI number 13. Like it was said by Dr. Mgonyama, he managed to steal my mind and presented it so well, but I should also, honestly speaking, emphasize on the issue of target not having been met. We are a bit worried because if you are failing to meet the target, then it says a lot to us as politicians. Number two, that is KPI 14 again. I want to take it further from where the John Gwenyama left it. So say we really need an explanation. We really need an explanation because if you check the variance and reasons for variances, it's 0000, maybe I did not understand. If I can just give it to understand. We must then go to the next question, which is on page 21, KPI number 23. We are saying here those tolls were made, and the only indicated provinces here is Western Cape, Gauteng Province, KZN, Limpopo. Of course, I do understand that it's only for a quarter, but my million dollar question is what about other provinces? Do we have a plan for visiting other provinces? But going to the next page, that is page number 22, KPI number 24. We as this oversight people, the visitors in Popo, doing our oversight, okay? So a lot of complaints were around this issue of the funding. I'm not sure as to whether you are aware and what plans are you having, because of course we have got good things in black and white, but our people down there, they are struggling a lot around the funding parts of your plans. Going to the CFO now. I did not change my text correctly. My other request for the delay. The CFO is saying to us, of course, we are aware that the transfers were done. Thank you for that. You are saying the spending was very slow, especially on the issue of vacancy rate. And when you were introducing yourself, we saw a lot of exit people. We are a bit worried. On the administration side, you are saying you spent high. You managed to spend very high because of offices and whatever, and the salaries. And the million-dollar question again, you still need more people, and you have already spent a lot on the building of offices. And I'm not sure about the issue of the budgeting part of it. Is everything has been taken care of? Because we need to have vacancy filled. Vacancy seems well left here. And then, when are you intending to fill the vacancies? Because if it means that if I had the HOP correctly, she made mention of something like hunting. I'm not sure, because we really need to get things going. We are going too slow. Thank you very much.
Inspector General's comments, because continually those comments have to be addressed. So if I could get an input on from the Auditor General's comments that had, that were still outstanding, how are we doing on each of them? Then the second one, the number of questions of it, I don't know whether we'll have a second round, but the second one is in terms of the summary of the target performance for quarter one, there were 48 products in total, but there were only 38 targets in total and 63 outputs. Could the department explain the relationship between the products, the outputs, and the targets? Then the third question is, there were people, there is a high, I know my question relates to what my colleagues have asked. There is a high turnover of staff in the department, and there is also, there are also those that were hired on contract, whose contracts have been terminated. Because I want to assume that when people are hired on contracts, they perform very well, the chances of them being taken permanently into a department which is short-staffed are high. So those that whose contracts have been terminated, is it because they could not fit into the department? Or what was the criteria? Well, I know that some will not fit, but obviously some will fit. I just want a bit of clarity there, because the department had to shape them according to the way the department wants its personnel to be. And then there's another question. The department reports that there were 48 products in total. However, in the 2014 annual performance, there are 228 targets for the year. Therefore, the expectation is that there will be 57 products for each quota. Could the department explain the difference? And I don't know whether, for now, let me stop myself at the following question, and if you do give us a second round, I will continue with the others. The department provides information on placed targets for only one quarter. Could the department provide the committee with information on how the other targets are spread across the year? The information will enable the committee to determine ahead of time if overall targets will be met on time. For instance, according to the 2013-2014 annual performance plan, the annual target plans, the strategies and instruments is 8. However, in quarter one report, no targets has been allocated and no explanation provided. Let me end with the last question from the chair. One of the objectives that we must at all times strive to satisfy is job creation. And I need not explain how critical it is for SMEs and cooperatives to be an instrument of job creation. How well are we doing as a department in promoting SMEs, but especially focusing on the first B of the triple BEE, the broadness? Because it is one thing to empower one or two people to become millionaires, maybe billionaires, but it is another to empower a pool of ordinary people. Because if you empower a pool of ordinary people, you are satisfying the first B, the broadness part, because that B was introduced because of the shortcoming that was realized, that we are saying we are developing as a country economically, but utilizing that instrument to address this inequity, taking into account ruralness, informal settlements, and also gender and disability areas. Thanks, Secretary Chair.
Thank you, Baba Mambasa.
I really must confess that it has been very difficult to follow the presentation. And also, I hope that Member Mabasa that you will have a second round of questions to follow up. And I'll start with the HR issue. The situation has been going on, you know, for a very long time. You know, almost every presentation, annual performance, there's always an issue regarding HR matters. The situation is really unacceptable, really. And one wonders how long will the new technology with the department? It's really a sort of challenge, you know, as far as the delivery is concerned, and we don't know how will the department, you know, implement the plan in accordance with the objective here if we have this challenge and it's ongoing. And also to get some clarity where we do not have the target as to what is the reason for not having the target. And the issue regarding unavailability of stakeholders, where the meeting was postponed to end July, is it because there was no quorum or people not turn over completely? And was there any reason why people not turn up when they were invited? Because I think in every plan, when you plan for a meeting or whatever, there's money spent. So it means it could be something like a fruited expenditure if there were planned and people did not turn up. The few last ones on IDC's response to 1.4 million that was approved to three companies. If we can know those companies and their location, so we can do oversight. And how much was spent to company. On the funding for CIFA, this one is really, really unacceptable as well, whereby people just dish up money and not knowing how much they funded the recipients of this funding. To say no report on the number of businesses funded through the hotel finance. There must be something wrong with people who are doing this work. Well, do we have confidence in place? Let me not say something that will not regret in future, but really I don't understand if we fund businesses or whatever and we don't know how much we funded. How was the application approved? By who? What was the motivation if we really give us money and not know how much is given out? It's really not acceptable. And to say systems are being put in place to address this, it's just a bad way, yes, and it's not enough to keep this reason here. I think people will be taken to task as to how do they manage to give up money and not knowing how much they're giving out. Someone has to account for this situation. And also, spending on accommodation, again, not acceptable. It has been a challenge for a very, very long time. So I think when the time comes for it to be implemented, it must be a perfect plan whereby no one's going to overspend. It has been there for a very long time, and I remember there was also a member statement, where we raised an issue in the House about the accommodation. Because we think if there's no accommodation, people cannot perform optimally. But now, when it comes to implementing the issue that has been raised with passion, now there is overspending. How do you plan? It means there's poor planning. One is not doing his or her job accordingly. Thanks for
now. Thank you, Mr. Petri.
to expand on the question of the roadshows and the attendances, if you can be able also to elaborate what method are you using when you are inviting these people just to take us into your confidence. And the other thing, if you can give us more details on I think it's 1.7 billion where you've written 1,694.1 million. I think that is 1.7 billion. If you can give us more details about that, that is page 6. And on page 7, if you can share us the prices on the report that identified challenges to be addressed in the administrative support, if you can be able to share, with us on those challenges, what are those challenges. And then the presentation, you said the report on employment, GDP growth and investment in relation to job drivers of the NGP covered the first quarter of 2013 was prepared and submitted to cabinet. Is it possible to give us a copy of what was entailed in that, to give the committee? The Chinese manufacturing cement factory. What was the problem? Why couldn't we use the local manufacturers if, let's say, if we've got any problem with the Chinese, plus the where any skills transfer to the local one? Or do you have any plan of transferring those skills from the Chinese? We want to check the monitoring of the implementation of these accords. I know we have signed many accords, but we are not sure whether after signing, how are they being implemented? Do we have the mechanism of checking that? And the other thing on page 24, is the department able to monitor the measures, the conditions which whatever the competition commission is giving the go ahead of measures to you? Are you be able to check or monitor the conditions which has been put when companies have been they are measuring? Yeah, I think so far that's it. It will depend on the department how you respond. Then we'll give the members to go for the follow-ups. This over expenditure, is it -1,4494? Was it planned for? And then how do you plan to correct it? How you structure your responses with the help of your team. Thank you.
Chairperson and other members, thank you very much for broad-ranging questions. I will deal with some of them and then allow the people like actually to address the particular questions where they are responsible for them. I think the first
I just wanted to say, Mr. Trink, you are welcome in this meeting. I hope you will get joy when they respond.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that the starting point would be for me to talk to the slide that deals with the targets. And I do want to indicate that I think we should have used the term KPI. When we're talking, the title of 38 isn't just the total of the KPIs. You'll remember that when we did the APP, we wanted to give a breakdown of the types of products that deliver, because in our APP we say interventions for, but what we've not said is what the type of those interventions are. So we did the analysis in our APP, and we've tried then to report against it. But it should not be taken as a mechanistic process of saying because there are 328 for the year divided by 4. Because planning would mean that we would be delivering differently in the different quarters. So it may well be that there was no intended plan to be developed in the first quarter. That the plan is in fact something that is done as a target or a deliverable for a future quarter. So I think that would explain the figures in relation to that. We certainly in the same way that a spending plan is not necessarily taking your entire budget and automatically dividing by 4, if you know that you've got major expenses in a particular quarter, you may well plan accordingly. But certainly in terms of this, we have not mechanically divided the outputs across the different quarters. There was a question raised in relation to the youth accord and whether it's having its desired impact. We are currently involved in a process of monitoring the first quarter. So could we please hold over on responding to that question until we've actually been able to aggregate that information, and we will then make that applicable. But I think in that it's also a process of us refining, as we deal with the youth accord, refining the way in which we are monitoring the implementation of the accords, and it has enabled us to do some reflection on the monitoring of the other accords. But we have tabled that report in May and distributed it in Parliament. That does give a sense in relation to the other accords of the progress that has been made in relation to that. One other aspect that we have brought into the youth accord is that us establishing a committee of principals, which is committed to meet on a quarterly basis. That also then becomes a mechanism for ensuring that the monitoring of implementation of the accord is tracked through that process, and we do hope that that will add value. On the issue of the HR issues, I wanted specifically to address those as a cumulative process. Indeed, and I can't here give details of exactly why each person whose contract ended was not continued to re-employ in the department, and I don't think it would be appropriate for that to be discussed in relation to individuals. But I think there are a number of different categories of people who are employed on contract in the department. When the department initially started off, it was a correct approach that people should be employed on contract because it's a new department and one doesn't necessarily have all of the job descriptions perfectly formulated. One's not sure of exactly the capacity, so rather start with people on contract, and then as you gel as an organisation, you're then able to move to permanent employment. So there was a category of people who were employed on contract but against permanent posts. And particularly in the administration programme, we have been through a process since December systematically advertising the permanent post and systematically filling the permanent post. We've not made as much progress as we should do, but we have made significant progress. So, for example, in the first quarter, there were 11 posts advertised. and there were 13 interviews that took place during that process. So I'm raising that because I want the portfolio committee to feel that there is a process moving forward. We will obviously be reporting to you very soon on the second quarter, and you will be able to see the progress in relation to that. And indeed, the headhunting process is still part of it, because certainly when one is looking at the specialist skills, that is where one does need to be able to ensure that you can go out and really find the level of expertise that one requires. So there are people whose contracts whose contracts have ended, either because we've advertised the permanent post against which they're employed, and we can't employ two people against one post. So that would then be a process in which that contract employment would end. That person obviously was free to apply for that post and may well have applied for the post and got it, but equally they may well have competed against their peers and been found that other people are more appropriate. So that would be the one contract, a category of contract. There were other contracts that had been employed in order to do a particular piece of work, and it was determined that work had been concluded and that work would only be taken forward in a different way. So there was a category of contracts that would have terminated through that process. The Action DDG is in a headhunting process. And that is certainly one of the issues that is receiving priority attention. I think that you will remember when we spoke to you last on the Corpi reporting, I had indicated that we had needed to do some quite serious stock-taking in terms of the HR environment to be able to determine exactly where we were and be able to move forward. We have done that. We have had the assistance and support of DPSA involved in that process. And that is part of what has enabled us to move to being able to ensure that we know exactly which posts are funded and we are able to also reprioritize funding depending on what our strategic priorities are, but also be able to then move ahead with the interview of the posts. There were a number of posts that also had needed to be JE, so as those JE results came in and were approved, we could then move to the advertising process. I hear very strongly your anxiety that we're not moving fast enough. I share the anxiety and I am doing what I can to be able to sustain and move those processes forth. We have in the second quarter made very significant progress in actually putting us in a far better base to manage our HR issues. I'm just scrolling through to see then other issues. Okay, I think the other issue that I wanted to comment on in general is the issue of where there is not a target set for a particular quarter. And I think it's important, and it's in the APP that we tabled. You will see that there was a question asked, can we include in the presentation the target for the rest of the year? We didn't include it because if you put it in, it actually becomes very difficult on the screen to be able to see it. But we can certainly find a way to do it. But if you look in the APP, it does spell out very clearly what the targets are for each quarter. Where there is not a target for a quarter, it does not necessarily mean that we're sitting folding our hands and we're not doing any work. But it would be a product that requires work that spans a period of time. So, for example, in relation to the gender, youth and rural populations, we had identified that there was a need for us to do reports in relation to that. And we have identified that we need to do 3 reports on that during the course of the year. The team that works on that then needs to be able to manage that work, and the targets of when they actually complete that work would then manifest in a particular quarter. So I hope that provides an explanation of why there are quarters in which there is no deliverable. In other words, there's not a finalized product that we're expecting in that particular quarter, but it does not mean that there is not ongoing work that will deliver on that target as we go through. I think, Joseph, if we stop at that point and allow the managers to deal with the particular issues that they have in it, and I'll stop.
In terms of the FIFA roadshows, these are advertised through community radio stations, through newspapers, and also through FIFA's contact in the provinces. And the breakdown of the audience are individual members of SME forums, agencies such as Serafin Network for Women in Transport, banks, and so on. Presentations are normally made by FIFA, by SARS, by CEDA, the IDC, the National Youth Development Agency, and the DTI, and as well as ourselves. The roadshows are going to happen in all of the provinces, and you'll see them being rolled out to the other four provinces as we go ahead. In terms of funding challenges, the one raised in the proposal, the issue is that FIFA doesn't have a presence in all of the towns and so on. But what is happening, there's a new exciting project that is going on where FIFA and CEDA will be able to market each other's products. And therefore, we'll have a bigger reach as we go ahead. And that project is being unfolded now. It's going to be a min-map where the plans are going to be laid out, and that's the intention. So immediately we would almost increase our reach quite significantly, because you would find a CEDA office that would be able to talk to FIFA for their products and so on. Also the IDC would be involved in this as well. And where there isn't a presence at all to FIFA and CEDA, there are municipal agencies and so on. So we try and expand our outreach to all of these agencies that do exist. Your program at the roadshow. Okay. In terms of cooperatives, we have currently a very exciting project that we hope to roll out in the next quarter. It's the Rise of Basic project, which has been funded through the Employment Creation Fund, and it's going to be rolled out by FIFA. It's 50 containerized bakeries that would be owned by women cooperatives of 5 each in the Western Cape. And as that rolls out, we would let you know what the progress on that particular project is. But we're also holding hands with the DTI because they have a corporate sector. FIFA also has some funding available for corporate, and we would focus on those. The Stress Fund IDC, the list of that, yes, we'll make that available, but needs to be noted that this is confidential information, can't go out of the members, because often clients don't want it to be known to their customers that they are in distress. It might affect their business. So it's sensitive information. In terms of the unknown figures regarding micro funding, we don't know how many individuals we help. What happens here is that FIFA provides loans to retailing intermediaries, so they wholesale the funds. And they don't approve the funds to an individual client at the bottom, because the funding they arrange is between 500 and 50,000 rand. So what happens is that FIFA would then approve, say, 1 million rand or 2 million rand for microfinance institutions, who would then own them to the public. Nevertheless, we've asked FIFA, and they've agreed to get us a list of clients with these microfinance intermediaries or retail intermediaries are supporting. So we should be able to get that information from them. The 1,694 million in the presentation show that as 1.7 billion, we show that as 4.7 million. In terms of the Mamba Cement Factory, this is a Chinese company that invested in a need to get some of the key workers in for the construction phase, not for the operational phase. That includes the management and even some of their staff that cook in Chinese, the Chinese cooks and so on. So there were a few of those that they needed approval for, and the project couldn't start without these skills being transferred down to South Africa. And therefore, us together with the ETI, the Department of Labor and Department of Home Affairs facilitated that. In terms of monitoring mergers, yes, what happens when every merge is being dealt with, we get a list of mergers, perhaps even on a weekly basis. Minister has a time limit. If he wants to oppose a minor merge, or he wants to make a presentation on a particular merge, then he can do so. And that's what happened in terms of that. In terms of the Walmart case, they intervened while the process was on. The condition. We're not doing that, but we can get that information from the condition authority.
Maybe just in addition to the small business support, we are currently in the process of developing a one-stop shop or a portal for SMEs. But what we're going to be doing is going to align all the programs across all spheres of government. The reason is that normally when a business or SME goes to an office where it doesn't have a fee, but it only see that. The intention is to make sure that even if we see that all the support services that can be offered by CIPA, that you can actually get. So we tend to have sort of a last option where even if you go walk into an agency at the provincial level, and you go to the provincial department, the support that's offered by both CIPA and CIPA can actually be provided from that kind of intervention. So that's what we're doing. I think we'll be launching it by the end of this financial year. And we've also been engaging with the treasurer to review the venture capital funding incentive scheme. The intent is that when you have only CIPA offices, you're going to see offices in the country. Business can still be supported with the kind of service that they try to provide, where rather than having to refer to a business that is a place in Pretoria, that kind of service can be offered, and then where the assistance is required. So that you have some sort of interventions between all the entities of government in terms of support to the SMEs. And also, Mr. Treasurer will also be reviewing a venture capital funding tax incentive scheme. That's explained by a self warrant. We've also been going.
We have to think about it. There is always a look at how much we should like it to be. You know, I have a lot of things, but we thought maybe we should have to talk about it.
There is a quite good process that has been made. We were engaging with, at the MINDEC level, the minister engaging all the MECs. Has something, the launch of this workshop will be at the end of this calendar year, that is 2013, where we'll be launching the process of shop as a portal for SMEs. Given the issue of importing this 30-day payment, whose treasurer will now be making sure that if there is monitoring there, but it's not efficient now, they will be much more effective, efficient in terms of making sure that the 30-day payment is really being adhered to. Also, some of the services that SMEs actually require that you normally they are part of respect, CIPC, as well as get have a sort of a tax KPR certificate from that. But now there's a process now to align that part whereby both CPSC know, the processes to make sure that you deal with this issue of SMEs having to register twice as quickly as well as staff. That's one of the interventions that we started doing from the Account for Coordinating Committee perspective. With respect to the report that we're doing for Account for, the report really looks like we can share the PUPG, we can share the report we submitted to Cabinet, maybe looking at the economic trends, which sectors actually moving in as far as that's concerned, where the jobs are actually being created in as far as the sectors concerned, as well as other sectors as well. That's kind of what we do every quarter to Cabinet, we have to monitor it. From the year of Pazarus, which has been signed and then approved, what has been the progress been made in as far as coordination is concerned. But I don't know if it is
okay,
the traditional perspective, we can share for the KPI.
On KPI 10, KPI 6, there is a quarterly report prepared for Cabinet that deals with the NGP. Now, what we can do is to extract the information that deals with the analysis of the economy in that quarter and make that available. Obviously, we can't give to the portfolio committee a document that is just an essence for Cabinet, but we can certainly provide the analysis of the jobs drivers on it.
Thank you. I just want to respond to the question on KPI 13. I think that has come repeatedly almost from all the questions from the members. I just want to also give context at the same time responding in line with the question that was asked by Honorable Mabaso. Because they are related. The target is both qualitative and quantitative. So what we miss actually is the quantitative target, like missing the deadline. So we have to choose between meeting the deadline and compromise the quality of what we wanted to achieve. So we do have kind of a dilemma where you invite people and a week or two before the meeting happen, you ask how many people has come back and responded, and then you are told that so much number. Then you need to evaluate whether you go ahead or you ask the people to phone people individually and find out, you know, what date would be suitable. So that kind of an exercise. And then we thought that it just to be, in order to achieve that quality that we wanted to achieve, we had to maybe postpone it by a week or two, which we did. And yeah, it's not nice to know that you have missed the target, you know, the quantitative target as well. So, but in terms of the quantitative target, which goes to Mr. Mabaso was saying, where I come from, there is a lot of selling in Mabaso, but I apologize about it. At EEP, we share the same sentiment that BEE should also be used to support employment. becomes as inclusive as possible. So in our workshop, we needed to make sure that we get a balanced, high-level quality representation. And we came up with
jumping to KPI 34, one wanted to know more about the Ford company issue. I think Ford company was a company in distress due to some of the component suppliers that was adversely going to affect production in the Ford company. And they approached the department regarding accessing a training layoff scheme. Now, we're in the process of obviously just working through that because they're applying for the training layoff scheme a second time. The first time they applied for it was accepted, but there's monitoring issues now in relation to the expectations from higher education and training, who are obviously wanting to see what had been done in terms of the initial access to the training scheme. So we're working with higher education together with Ford in terms of just making sure that they can unlock funding for this training layoff scheme, so we don't have a situation where the 164 workers are retrenched, but obviously they haven't retrenched the workers, and we're in the process of just making sure that that doesn't happen. I think there was just a general statement made around obviously the non-delivery of targets, in relation to KPI 35, which talks specifically to knowledge network sessions being held. There are two issues. The one issue was the session that was going to be held was on secondary cities, and that focused on Rustenburg as a city on the same, the same date that we were actually going to have the session, literally a week before Northwest Province had organized, together with Rural Development, a big service delivery session where the specific individuals that were responsible at the municipal level that we wanted at the workshop, at a city level, were actually at that workshop. So that's the one issue. The second issue is that we're obviously looking at, in terms of these network sessions, it's not just being a one-source session, that we actually want to establish networks. Even though the KPI talks to knowledge network sessions, we feel obviously the value add in relation to knowledge in key areas that talk to our department is around establishing a living network, you know, individuals that engage specifically on these economic-related issues. So part of the work, we've been throwing a lot of effort in getting the actual networks established. So a lot of work, groundwork has been done in the quarter in terms of engaging key role players that we want to see as part of the champions of that network. Because it doesn't make sense that government drives it alone. You know, we need to have our key social partners involved. And obviously people with the content knowledge outside of our department as well being involved in these networks. We have set a date for the Rustenburg one that was due in the first quarter. That's going to happen on the 17th of September, which is next week.
Thank you, members, for the questions. The one question.
By aging of assets, and this particular instance,
happens, it might cost the state more to maintain and keep those laptops and desktops working rather than it might cost them more than replacing the laptops. That's the reason I had mentioned the aging of assets. We currently do not buy desks and chairs because we intervene in a triple T environment. We replenish, we purchase servers, we purchase our own laptops, and we participate in the transversal contract for printers. We don't do other purchases of those in as far as we see them. Accommodation versus personnel costs and space. The EDD has had a challenge, as Honorable Dr. KP has said, of accommodation. I'm only a few days old in EDD. Accommodation has been made available, and as EDD has already said, we are working towards filling the post, and hopefully when we do get additional officials, we should not have an issue of we cannot accommodate them or we cannot recruit because we do not have enough of the space for new staff members.
So maybe to correct you, maybe I misled to the initial is the R, not mean the
dog. Okay, I love it. I apologize. Okay, so. Sorry about me. Honorable Mabasa asked, what are we doing about AEG's findings in as far as monitoring? We have started put together what we call a heat map, where in every second Friday we meet in as far as when I say meetings, we're referring to process owners who then give us progress on the implementation. Part of the attendees is internal audit, which is expected to then go back and provide us with the necessary assurance on whether the implemented or the proposed implementation controls are adequate, so that hopefully going forward AG will not raise the same matters again. We have about 70 findings that we are monitoring every second week, Honourable Member. I think I have covered, and as I said, the one question was, what are corrective measures that we're going to put in place? We got an unqualified audit opinion. There is one letter of emphasis which relates to adjustment of a prior year comparative figure in surpluses that we as management corrected, but AG felt there was a need to specifies the matter in the audit opinion, in the audit report. The audit ask a predetermined objective. There is those unqualified. Not from the top of my head. It's basically an unqualified audit opinion with, of course, issues as I said in the management report, the 7P findings that we are following through the Friday, every second week Friday session that we go through with the process owners responsible for implementing corrective measures.
Waiting for CIFA in all processes, and we talk of only 8 days that has been spent in one quarter on selected or whatever few provinces, instead of having teams that actually go all over so that we get done and then with eliciting and then the initiative and excitement of people around CIFA so that they are able and they return on this resource. Especially due to the fact that we have the situation that we have. I don't want to vent out what I would be saying to CIFA when I actually go through whatever that they have managed to dispense. Because I believe myself that, again, CIFA will never miss going to Gauteng, for instance. I have nothing against Gauteng, because that's what I say. CIFA will never miss going to Gauteng, but CIFA will miss going to KwaZulu-Natal, to Eastern Cape, to Limpopo, to Free State, even to Mpumalanga or even Northwest. CIFA will miss those areas. And to me, that's where the need is, because that's where the poverty is. There are so many resources, there are girls around Gauteng, but CIFA will not miss going to Gauteng on everything that they do. But the unfortunate imbalance that we see. And that's my observation. As I say, I don't want to say that it's backed up by any scientific or what, but it does a pure observation, Chairperson. We talk 8 days out of 90 days on a program that everybody has been waiting for. Now, I think you've responded on the KPI 7 with regard to the survey and all that. And I fully and concur with the speaker that says that and your proposal that DG, which says that that we need to get this report, even if it's just the synopsis of it, so that we have an idea
KBI is, the number of platforms held to communicate and discuss is related to the new growth path. And maybe one needs to say that we need to take people on board. It cannot be said that we there's no target for the quota, because in my view, it means that we have not gone out to actually inform people about this very important program. And on them, the chairperson, the policy that has identified the policy platform, and the work on pilot. On the pilot smallholder schemes, didn't you have tried to explain this one? I wish you could actually once more and explain. It relates to land and smallholders and so on and so forth in the former homeland. And maybe we need to get more information and on this. On KPI 12, I'm trying to rush, and it's monitoring of competition anticipation and proposals. And the promulgation of the section of the Competition Act relating to health market. And we don't have, I don't have information on that one. Yes, on the construction, but on the health one, and maybe we need to get more on that. On 14, and Chairperson, it says that number of reports on the impact of NGP on women, youth, and rural people evaluated and improved, no target, and for that, and for the quota. It's an important one to measure the impact, especially on this sector and the rural people. The new program, to me, Chairperson, is meaningless if it does not have an impact, if we cannot measure the impact and of that new program in the villages, in the rural areas, with women and with the youth. Maybe has been dealt with. Maybe just to note that on that one, on the negative side, no target for the target. I suppose that it's a tip. And on the 25, Chairperson, on 25, I can only ask the question, everybody reports on jobs, target and CIFA conversion. Target not fully met, a quantitative report on jobs created by CIFA, IDC and so on, but the executive authority noted that this had not evaluated the data nor extended it to cover all anything. The first quarter evaluative report will be submitted during August. And August has passed. It's an important one because it deals with the jobs, which is, in a sense, is the core of EDT. And for us to be able to see whether EDT is losing its breath or soul, and we only measure mainly on that one. So it's important for us to be able to. On the 29, on 29, it's something to do with the ESCOM. Oh yeah, it's on 29. What was done by the EDTPIC technical unit with localization units, and so on. These include transmission lines, cables, and so on. Is this, because it seems to me that it's an important aspect because it deals with the real job creation, if it's what I'm imagining, that it identified opportunities and by ESCOM, by EDT, and for ESCOM, and so on and so forth, are there any countries and to start moving on this? And the last one, unfortunately, sorry to be wrong. It's another sector that will end workplace economic development agreements facilitated with social
in the environment in which we are, with the number of the stakeholders and with the employers or the investors, whatever them, and labor. And this should be one of the most important areas to try and engage so as to stabilize the economic environment of South Africa. And that kind of dialogue is very, very important. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Babu Mwenyama. Number two.
Our special bid is more for FMC that SMEs worldwide are an instrument of creating jobs and sustainability. Any country that does not master that area is not going to do well. Also, a country that has disparities like ours will be punished because means we are not able to occupy that space that should be occupied by people that were always out of economic activity by apartheid laws. And if the industry and economic development in particular do not master areas, I don't know who we. I want to come back again to cooperatives. That there is one that goes that there's a plan to implement cooperatives, and that plan will be taken, you know, to the whole country. But that will be for the future.
Well,
the ground are more frustrated. So I do ask for a plan and a report on cooperatives, SMMEs.
Thank you.
kind of a report, and we are going to have people who are going to receive what you call performance bonus, if you understand what performance evaluation is. But we are really much happy about the situation. And this was the plan, the good plan in place. If we have this kind of situation in HR, who is going to implement if you don't have a capacity? It is a rehearsal, I mean, to assist us in implementing the plan. But if we have this situation in HR, then it will be just a research center, one for our destination.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Chief. And again, apologies for coming in late. Just maybe a few questions, and if they have been covered, then please just let me know, and I will withdraw the question. It's really referred to 192,000 spent versus 201,000. Is that 1,000 rand a million? And if that's been covered, then you can just let me know. KPI 5. What progress has there been with regards to the ICT systems and the MSP that you had put in place? Has there been any progress in development? Because if ICT within the department is problematic and so on, and it's not up to speed, certainly the department is going to be having challenges. So how far have you come with regards to your ICT matters? KPI 6, what are the technical instruments to be refined? We certainly don't want to leave technical instruments to people like, or to groups like Moody's, who come out with a particular instrument and tell us our economy is not performing as it should, when one compares it to the rest of the world, in terms of our GDP growth, and in terms of our budget deficits compared to Europe, for example, we are excellent, and yet Moody's puts out an instrument, and immediately we become downgraded. So I'm just interested to know what kind of technical instruments are there that people needed to be refined, and why haven't they, if not refined? Then the other question would be, what instruments does the department use to monitor the potential of your initiatives, for example, versus GDP growth? With economic and development, there are certain initiatives that this particular department is looking at to grow the economy. What is an instrument used to measure your success as a department? You know, we've had 1,000 interventions, 200 co-ops, 500 jobs in this particular sector, and so on. So is there a particular instrument used to measure success as compared to the global, the bigger picture? And then the last two questions, what are the synergies with other departments? And obviously you are speaking to other departments, and I've heard that I've picked that up. But we've also picked up in the media, as there sometimes can be some really unhealthy competition, for example, Office of the Presidency and Economic and Development. Have there been the National Development Plan versus the new hotspot? You know, what instruments are we using to direct our economy? So are they, you know, are the kinds of challenges nationally being sorted out? And not just the Office of the Presidency, the Finance Department, Education Department as well. I know that's a very important question as well. And then my last question, which for me is a very important one, is the indicator that, you know, we obviously can't get the report that is submitted to Cabinet. And my question is, why not? Why not? Because certainly it's not because of a lack of intellectual capacity on the committee to understand, or is it just because there are rules and regulations which prevent you from doing that? And if there are, I think that
committee certainly deserves to get a report which at least gives us an indicator of where the general direction of the country is going economically. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Deputy. Mr. Chen is the new member representing the KCDP. Road shows. So it is not taking the place of
other ongoing communication mechanisms. The minister has set FIFA particular targets and has asked them to try and ensure that they step up and even exceed the targets for the year. We would agree that no communication is ever going to be enough until everybody who needs to know about FIFA and CEDA and all the provincial DFIs has got that information at their disposal and can access the necessary resources. So we will take the concern and enhance it. In that context, just to also address the issue which has been raised in our previous interaction with the Portfolio Committee as well, we have, in the process of tasking CEFA to do those roadshows, instructed that they cannot all take place in Gauteng, they cannot all take place in the metropolitan cities, they need to get out to the rural areas, they need to get out to the areas in which CEFA has not previously established a presence. So we are looking at that as we go forward to ensure that there is a better balance in those processes, and it again is an issue in which the Portfolio Committee's direction that here is an area that has not been touched by the roadshows and should be would be invaluable, because it would then enable us to direct people to attend to those processes. I think that we tried in our first round of responses to indicate the work that is being done under the leadership of the Minister of Economic Development and the Minister of Trade and Industry and the MECs for Economic Development through the MINLEG around small business. The Portfolio Committee in a number of forms has been asking for a plan, an action plan, and that is precisely the work that has been taking place during this last quarter. From the MINLEG meeting, the two departments were tasked to develop a game-changing action plan. We are in the final stages of pulling that process together, and I think that it would be important once the MINMIC has dealt with that and engaged with it, that feedback is given to you. It does look at a small part of that plan is looking at co-location. So it is looking at ensuring that there is the centralized place where information can be accessed, that it doesn't matter whether you're walking into a CEFA office or a CEDA office or a provincial DFI office or a metropolitan DFI office or NYDA, you'll be able to access the same information. So that process is moving ahead through that roadshow. We will certainly take all of the issues that have been raised here around small business and around, in particular, the importance of ensuring that we build in support for co-ops into the SME process, go back and review our action plan and ensure that it has adequately addressed it. All of those elements are in the action plan that is currently receiving its final touch-ups, but we will certainly take that back and the feedback in particular from your oversight visits to look at that. In relation to the procedures around cabinet memos are memos that go to cabinet, and nobody other than cabinet can distribute them to anywhere else. But I think what I was trying to say was that certainly the content of, on a quarterly basis, the analysis of the job drivers and the new growth path is something that we can make available to the Portfolio Committee. And I hope that will address that. But we do need to be sensitive to the different mechanisms of government in that regard. So we will certainly go and ensure that there is, on a quarterly basis, an update provided to the Portfolio Committee that will track the changes and the developments. I think that then gets to the question of whether we have got a mechanism for evaluating EBD in relation to the new growth path. And it's not, there isn't a direct correlation. So it becomes a very difficult process to be able to say that this particular intervention or this particular policy intervention or platform has in fact had a direct impact on the economy. One of the aspects that we have flagged in our strategic planning processes is that we do need to refine the ability to measure the impact. As a coordinating and an integrating department, our responsibility is to measure the outcome and the impact in far more of a cross-cutting manner than in relation to an individual department. So if you look at the quarterly reports that we do prepare, they are looking at the action plans of the economic cluster and the infrastructure cluster, and whether those in fact have got the desired results. But bear in mind also that a large part of economic development is in fact driven by and the progress is comes from the private sector and not just from government. So again, it's a complex, very complex issue, one that we would certainly appreciate ongoing engagement with the portfolio committee in relation to that. There are a couple of issues that people have asked chairperson and acting chairperson for further information, and I think that on some of those we would want to be able to put things in writing and give you follow-up information on it. But I am going to ask of the people here who are involved in the smallholders platform to be able to talk on that in more detail if they can. Otherwise, we will provide that going forward. Again, the market health inquiry. Mohammed, if you've got information, you can talk on it, but otherwise we can provide further detail on that. The issue around the NGP and the impact of the NGP on people in the rural areas in informal settlements amongst youth and women, we couldn't agree more with the portfolio committee's concern that if the NGP is not making an impact on those categories of people, then we're not getting where we should be getting to. And that's precisely why those were lifted up as reports that we want to be able to look at during the course of this year. But we also did not want to land up where we mechanically said, we'll generate a report on women every quarter. So that's precisely what I was saying. There is ongoing work that is being done in order to generate a quality product that disaggregates the information against the job drivers of the NGP in relation to gender and does the evaluation and similarly in terms of the rural community and youth. So those are reports that you will receive and you will see as we go forward into that project. I'm just scanning to see which other ones I should deal with. I think perhaps also it would be important for us to say that we have a project with the CSIR around looking at functional economic regions. And in that process, I think the honourable member's concern was, are we looking at the informal settlements or the excluded communities in a systematic way, or is it simply because somebody goes to a place and realises that there's an intervention that is necessary? We're not yet at a point at which it's sufficiently systematic. We do have a mechanism, and this is where partnerships with the presidency are very important elements. Any presidential visits, be they conducted by the president or the deputy president, when on those visits areas of economic development need are identified, those issues are lifted up and given to us as a department to then be able to look at what interventions need to be taken forward in a particular community. So there are mechanisms that are beginning to surface those types of areas. Obviously the 23 worst serviced districts is also a key mechanism that we use along with rural development and other departments in the economic cluster to be able to focus on interventions. But in that project with the CSIR, and Ben will speak on it far more articulately than I will, but let me give a first round on it, we are aiming to be able to layer information that will then enable us to identify precisely where developmental needs are. Either on the basis of being able to map spatially unemployment areas against where economic development is taking place, and then be able to look at how do you map those? Do you move economic development there? Do you find mechanisms in which people are able to get employment? So I think that in that sense, and it's difficult because we all want this, we all want the communities that you're referring to be transformed tomorrow, if not today. But I think that mechanism will enable us going forward to be able to be far more systematic. And that in terms of the transformation of society becomes an important aspect. We've also linked up with work that is being done around township economies to be able to look at how, and again it feeds into the work that is being done around small business and small business promotion and development, and ultimately around the co-ops as well. the work that's being done around partial economies and see again how we enable work to be taken forward in those areas. The Hearhaven process is a process that has already been initiated, so indeed the election time should certainly be seeing results of that. I did want to touch on the issue of the funding, the lack of information about FIFA funding, because I think that I need to ensure that we don't have a misunderstanding. It's not that FIFA does not know who the money is being allocated to. But in relation to some of the money, they allocate money to a funding entity that then loans to particular individuals. So where that comment in the report comes from is that we do not currently have the information via FIFA of who the final person is who received that money. They have the amount, they know exactly how much money has been given to this particular organization. But how that company has then unlinked to the individual is what they need to do, and that is where we're improving the system. So it's certainly not a situation in which the FIFA is giving money to intermediaries and they don't know how much they're giving to who. Where the mechanism needs to be improved is to be able to source the information from the intermediaries around who on the ground is the final person who receives that money, so that then we are able to know that that part of money that FIFA is allocating by intermediaries actually ends up going to X number of women or X number of youth, and it's that mechanism. So this is certainly not an issue of maladministration and corruption. It's an issue of the mechanism of the allocation and ensuring that the information that the intermediaries have filters through to FIFA, but it's available not only to FIFA and to us. So I hope that I've clarified that issue. But we will take very strongly the need for us to ensure that the timelines for that are shortened.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. And you are the chair of the session. Thank you very much, and thank you for standing here. Sorry, I just want to make a follow-up. Morning, teacher, and other colleagues. I just wanted to make a follow-up on what the teacher is saying, because you're saying the statement as written in the report doesn't mean that you don't have, you know, there are no records. Doesn't mean that the corruption or whatsoever, but the fact of the matter is, the statement that it says, it tells a person who's the a person who's not involved in the department that you don't have records. And from what the DG is saying, it means there are serious challenges with recordings by CIFA in terms of information gathering. So if you cannot have information for the whole quarter, which is about 3 months, of where the monies are, who the monies are given to, how much is being given, what the intermediaries or what, you remember, I think it was like 2 weeks, the issue of coming up with a system. But I think then the person who was coordinating this, I think it was what was his name? The chief director responsible for small entities.
For the
team. They that they've come up with the desktop. Dashboard system that would ensure that there is that particular information. What happened to that? Because my understanding was that information that was done, the only thing was just gathering of information that was left. What happened to that? Because really, we cannot year in and year out talk about information, lack of information. Moreover, that CIFA has taken over the Kula Direct, which is now called the Direct Lending. We want to get that information. How do we get that information? If the department government itself, which is supposed to oversee that this entity does not have an acknowledgement that it exists. And moreover, in terms of the meetings that the meeting that the minister had with the entities, quite many of them, but then what is it that between yourself and the minister when you meet with these entities emphasize, especially in particular to this, on this particular matter of information? This is critical because we want to see the impact that FIFA is making in our community. We want to see the impact that IBC is making. And if we don't have information, I think we are not getting anywhere. So I would say that PG, if we can get us that information, as well as a 3-month period, which is too much, I think, for me not to be able to get that kind of information. I hear your explanation, but it's not satisfactory as far as I'm concerned.
We will certainly provide a full report on the information that is available, and I think that what I again need to clarify, but I will do it in a full report, is that it's not that there is no information that is available. There is an additional part of our breakdown of that information that we still need. But we will prepare a report for the portfolio committee, bearing in mind that is the information that you would want. If I can then just give it half. In terms of the ICT, I think in a broad sense, what is important is that we have a partnership with DTI in terms of the ICT infrastructure. We have made progress in terms of appointing the governance, setting up the governance systems that are required in the department. In terms of the MISP, perhaps it would be an issue that the portfolio committee would like a more well-organized report on it, so I can prepare a brief report on the status in relation to that. On the issue of the synergies with other departments, I've tried concretely to explain the partnerships. I think in terms of the NGP and the NDP, it is very clear both in the NDP and in what has been said about the NDP, that the NGP is one of the vehicles through which the NDP is implemented, IPAC being one of the others that is being implemented. So we have a very close partnership. The work that's being done currently around those 14 outcomes is part of the process of being able to look at how to cascade the NDP through the NGP and through IPAC into practice. So we do have ongoing dynamic working relationships and partnerships with Presidency, with Treasury, education, certainly higher education in terms of skills development is a very critical part of our work, both as the policy branch of EDD, but also in terms of, as I indicated, and the member was not present when I spoke on it, but the PRCC skills development part also requires an important part. I think, Chairperson, I've dealt with the general questions that I wanted to deal with. And I can then hand over to people to deal with today.
Yeah, I think it was only 5 minutes left.
Okay, on the housing market inquiry, they are dealing with the current early legal challenges that the Constitutional Commission received from stakeholders, and they feel confident that they'll be able to deal with those. In the meantime, they're putting a human resources panel members and technical team together, and they said they should start the actual work around November of this year. In terms of the localization story, that is ongoing. The IDC, together with the PIDC team, identified areas of opportunities, and then the IDC actively looked at partnering with businesses who would then established such businesses in South Africa, and IDC financed such businesses. For example, the bus manufacturing, the carriage manufacturing around trains, in biofuel, the Ringo projects, and so on, which are all PICC projects, which is then funded by the IDC, but the types of projects are identified. Central District, I mean, the district companies, I mean, issue, we would make that available, but what we're saying is that we want that information to be confidential here, because district companies are by nature, they want to, I mean, tell their customers or their stakeholders that they are in distress, or else they'll have problems with their suppliers and so on. So essentially, that information would be made available by the IDC, but it has to remain within the confines of this committee. On the costs, what project, the Rising Break project, is a real project. I mean, that project is happening, I mean, as we speak now. And it'll be rolled out in the next quarter. But the infrastructure work of the co-ops is done by DTR. And perhaps it might be best that we invite them here and they would make a presentation on the kind of work that they do.
$201 million and $192 million. The postponed meeting did not attract any financial implications because it was postponed in, before any procurement to take place. The exercise tomorrow is seeking to ensure that we do not have any challenges to going forward in relation to each budget manager presenting specifically what it is that they need between now and the end of the financial year. That will ultimately then become our revised demand plan that we will use from now going forward.
I think just on specifically, I think just to talk through the policy platform that was held in relation to the households or the small hold schemes. That policy platform was obviously specifically for in the context of Job Driver 2, which talks to the main economic sectors, and within Job Driver 2, one obviously talks about specific targets. One of the targets is around 300 households in relation to agriculture. In policy, yeah. Job Driver 2 within the growth part, just to locate the context of the platform. And, you know, there obviously when it's talking specifically to smallholder schemes as being a key delivery for, in relation to households, I mean, sorry, in relation to jobs. So that platform was an engagement with departments that also have an approach to smallholders, because their key departments, obviously being agriculture, rural development, and ourselves, that all have a perspective on smallholder development. So in order to ensure delivery going forward, it was important at a policy level to have that synergy, because we all talk about implementation in relation to smallholders. So very important in terms of the monitoring aspect of the growth path is to be sure that we're all on the same page around the policy in relation to smallholders. So that's what was quite a strategic platform in relation to that aspect of the new growth path Job Driver. I think just the spatial work, and talking specifically, I think just to build on to what the DG was saying, work that we're doing around the CSIR is particularly important because it talks to the mapping of census information, so obviously giving a good sense of where things are. For example, some of the indicators that we've mapped to talk to the issue that you've raised in terms of the issue that was raised around where are the poverty hotspots, if you like. The number of indicators have already been mapped specifically around youth, gross value add, where value addition taking place, employment, income, access. So those are the indicators in the process that we mapped in relation to 2011, 2009, and the previous census information. So we've got a trend in relation to where areas are declining, where areas are growing, and obviously where concentrations of specific poverty are, because employment's mapped as well. But the key aspect now is just pulling it together to reflect relationships, because, you know, one doesn't want to just, you know, all these indicators are quite important in terms of how they relate to one another. So we're in the process of doing that, and in that process, the end result would be to come up with a decision-making tool. So based on information, how do we make our decisions? I mean, that's the important end. The information in itself is not useful until you have obviously have the tools to make a decision in relation to that information. So that's what we're building on at the moment with the CSR. That's the approach with the spatial information.
I wanted to suggest that we could correct one misconception, because if it goes to be uncorrected, we will really go into big problems. The only thing that is being done by DTI on cooperatives is the policy, you know. But otherwise, cooperatives, just like SMMEs, are supposed to be implemented by every department. So I want to suggest that in a written form, on cooperatives, which have you supported, what are the plans going forward, and also the amounts involved, taking into account what we were saying when we talked of rural areas, poverty areas, the areas that we just spoke of, and race, disability, you know, also try to cover those spends.
Give the department the parting shots and thereafter, Chairperson, if you want to say anything to the department, but in closing, I'll give the department first, just to make the closing remarks.
Chairperson, Acting Chairperson, and Honourable Member, thank you very much for a very empowering interaction. There are, I have noted, a number of issues in which we owe you a written report, and we will ensure that we do that. But I think for me, what we've also heard very clearly is that we need to ensure that your concerns about the administration program are well heard. We have noted them. We have indicated to you the processes that are in place. And I can say that I'm confident that those processes in place are beginning to deliver in the department. But I hear very loudly your concern that it's not fast enough and it's not deep enough, and we will certainly take that back into our management meeting tomorrow and ensure that we monitor very carefully the progress that we're making, both in relation to the spending issues and in relation to the HR issues. On the core business side, The interaction that we are having on the previous report and this report is invaluable for the department, because it enables us to go back refocused and energized. In particular, we have noted the issues that you've raised from your oversight visits, and will certainly ensure that we take those aspects forward. I think if we leave that at that point, there are a number of areas in which you directed us to ensure that we pay specific attention, particularly around small business. And as I've indicated, that is the focus of the MINMEC at the moment. So the two Ministers of Trade and Industry and Economic Development, along with the MECs and therefore all the provincial heads of economic development and ourselves and DTI, are putting very focused attention on that at this point. And your interventions today will be taken forward into that process.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Obviously, I wasn't part of the meeting, and I'm not sure of what was covered and what was not covered in relation to, except for the last part of my, where I was present. But looking at the report, DG specifically, I'm particularly concerned. Maybe it's the way things are reported. Maybe would in future request that when you submit such reports, you also attach your submission to Treasury. Because we try to request Treasury to come, you know, and refer to on your performance. But it seems that the department should be in a position to focus in thought, especially on other, to be honest, on certain issues. territorial planning and coordination, which is to me very important. That is part of the development sector, special and national economic plans. I think it's on slide 15.
Worrying you? What is it that you think can be done better so that you don't have
is that the government did not want to absorb them. They initially said they were going to absorb them. On the other hand, they turned back and said, no, we're not going to absorb them. Why are we letting people suffer for things that they didn't create? They didn't say we must create SIFA. They were working for government. Moreover, they have a history. Remember, the department was formed and the people were taken from trade and industry. Those people who were brought to the department from trade and industry, they thought they were still serving the government. Today, those people don't have a future. Why is it a challenge? We were told that they were going to be given training. We can't just, you know, sit and say nothing about this as a portfolio committee. That would be very irresponsible. Those people who were working were able to put food on the table for their families. Today, they are not sure whether they are going to be able to put food on their table for what's going on. Why is this a challenge? Are they unavailable? Are they not able to be absorbed? What are the challenges? So that we can be able, if you cannot say to us, we'll be able to assist where possible teaching. There are things that continue to trouble us, the fact that the department is not in a comfortable position when it comes to personnel. People are acting, people exit the system. Every year we have new people. I think that we should be able to address really. It cannot continue every
Cospa.